This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I've been doing this show since the bubble. I feel like it was the bubble. If I had one game to win right now, I pick Jimmy Butler. Speaking of Warriors, I just pick Jimmy Butler. Let's write. I'm saying that's in terms nice. Of just like his. I'm
not. You talking about lock Jimmy Butler or not? Jimmy Butler. With
I'm
the
talking about
which one won.
I'm talking about whatever he wearing in the playoffs. I'm just saying something about this dude.
I love the competitive aspect of it. I guess. I think this is where all the like best players, they show up and they show out. And I'm not saying I'm one of those best players. I just want to be looked at as such. And I just go out there and I compete. I want to do everything for my team to win, along with everybody else on this roster. I think Coach Pat and Spo wanted me here for a reason. I feel like this is part of that reason. But the job's not done, so we don't want to get comfortable. We got one more to get.
You've denied it before, but it's playoff Jimmy thing. Are you ready to?
It's not a thing. It's not. I just be hooping.
The best performance I ever seen in the playoffs was tonight. LeBron scored 29 out of 30 at Detroit. We were actually at that game.
Including 25 straight.
25 straight and 29 out of 30. That was the best game I've seen in the playoff personally until tonight. That was the best performance I've seen since I've been on television. It was flat out incredible. It was an honor and privilege to watch it. But man, that guy was not gonna let them lose tonight.
Woo! Welcome to Brother from Another. Jim Trotter is here. Jim Trotter of The Athletic is here in the building. And I'm sure The Athletic, along with everybody else, had plenty to say about this performance from Jimmy Butler. And Jim, I was thinking about this, and I really can't come up with one. I can't come up with one in basketball or any other sport where somebody is consistently one of the best players in the NBA. Now, listen, Jimmy Butler is no bum in the regular season. Right. This whole thing, playoff Jimmy, that I think that's why he kind of looks at it like, wait a minute, y'all know my resume? I've been on all defensive teams. I've been an all-star. I've been all NBA. I mean, I ain't new that you follow the sport. I've been doing my thing. But I can't think of somebody who is a top 12, top 15. I call him top 15. Since he's all NBA, three all NBA teams. Let's just say top 15. Top 15 player in the league who becomes a top 5 player in the league when the playoffs start. Like, can you think of anybody who I can't think of anybody who like Jimmy Butler. Can you?
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that because I saw the first quarter yesterday and then I missed the rest of the game because I was flying home from Jamaica for my daughter's wedding. Mm. And so when I landed,
yeah, talk about that later.
When I landed and I saw what went down, I was just like, oh my God, Jimmy MFM Butler. And it got me to thinking about players who, in my memory, are guys who are good during the regular season, and then they go to another level when we get to the playoffs, right? And so in basketball, I thought about a guy like Robert Horry, right? Who, good player during the regular season, whatever, gets to the playoffs, and when it comes to that clutch moment or that clutch shot, that's how he gets that nickname, you know, Big Shot Bob.
Big Shot Bob.
He produces. Yeah. And, you know, his numbers go up. In the finals, he has his highest scoring average. It's not that they're high anyway, but it's just those clutch moments. In football, I thought about a guy like Terrell Davis, who averaged, 97.5 yards in the regular season. And then you look at his 8 postseason games, and he averaged 142.5 rushing. So he went up by that's 45 yards a game in the postseason. 8 playoff games, he was over 100 yards in every one of them except the first one. And in that one, he had 91 yards because they sat him in the fourth quarter because they were so far ahead. Otherwise, he'd be 8 for 8 in terms of 100-plus yards in the playoffs. And then the other name that came to mind for me, and you would know this one, Michael, is David Ortiz, Poppy. That guy who,
yeah,
when the moment presents itself in the playoffs, it's like that's the guy as an opponent you do not want to see, right? So just quickly, right, to my mind, those are like three
those
names that came to mind me in terms of guys who elevated their play either statistically in terms of the numbers or just in terms of the moment being able to deliver in those clutch moments.
I knew you'd be able to do it. See, Terrell Davis is a great one. David Ortiz, that's a great one. So many moments. And Robert Horry is a good one. But it doesn't quite capture, it's a good one. Because what Robert Horry is good at, he was, not the complimentary players should be dismissed, but he was a compliment to the main show.
Absolutely.
So Robert Horry was making shots with when Akeem was the draw. He was making shots,
right,
with Shaq and Kobe and Tim Duncan. Like, all those championships, he was along for the ride. Jimmy Butler is the cab.
You know,
to quote Chris Rock back in the day. I mean, he's the guy. I mean, he is the ride.
You know, this is what blew me away, Michael. When I landed, like I say, the first quarter I saw, I think he had 22 in the first quarter. And then I looked at the fourth quarter. They're down by 11. He re-enters the game with, I think, just over 8 minutes left. And he scores 21 points from that point on to overcome that 11-point deficit and lead them to a win. Jimmy Butler is just phenomenal when you get to, yeah, that moment. And I heard in the lead-in where Michael Smith said if he had to choose one player, you know, in the playoffs in that moment that you would put the ball in his hands in terms of that big game, it would be Jimmy Butler. And I tell you what, it's hard to disagree with that when you look at how he elevates his level of play and those around him. And he's doing this with two guys, two key players down for the Heat. So as a fan watching this, what do you always say? And I know I use a lot of football analogies, but like a Bill Belichick says, we're going to take away your best player and we're going to make everybody, right, else beat us. Well, when I'm looking at the Miami Heat, I'm saying that is their best player. How is it that you cannot take away that one guy and make everybody else beat you? Is it just the greatness of Jimmy Butler? Or is there a deficiency there when it comes up to scheming him defensively in terms of the Bucks?
It's a great question. This is all that matters to me. And I know you can't always figure this out when you're talking about regular season awards. That's funny right there. Josiah Johnson. Josiah,
he does a great job.
Never misses. He never misses. He doesn't miss. So, and for those listening on Sirius XM Channel 85, to put you in on a joke, it's a scene from Get Out after they hit the deer. And the character, and Chris's character is there looking like, oh, what happened? Let me go check out this wounded animal. Who wasn't dead, though? The animal was not killed. And so the Milwaukee Bucks, this buck is not dead. This buck is severely injured, down 1-3, not down 3-1, down 1-3 from the Bucks' perspective, with one of the best players in the world in their own right. The Bucks have one of the best players in Giannis. He had a triple-double last night, and nobody's talking about it today. He was back. He played hurt. I'm sure he is not 100%. With that back injury that he suffered in game one, they came back and they won game two emphatically without Giannis. They lose game two. And then here's Giannis for they lose game three, excuse me. And then here's Giannis for game four. And Jim, not only do they have Giannis for game four, they have Giannis game four. They're up 14 points in the fourth quarter. They're up 12 points with 6 minutes to play. Come on. I mean, we're talking about Jimmy Butler today. Can both things be true? Tell me if I'm being disrespectful.
No.
Jimmy Butler was amazing, and the Bucks choked.
No. Both things can. Yeah, both things can be true. And that was my point to you saying he is a great player when it comes to the postseason, but how is it that defensively you do not take him away? I just don't understand it. I'm not one of these basketball experts who can explain that to you, because if you want to get the ball out of Jimmy Butler's hands, I have to believe that you can scheme that up to do that and make these other players beat you. But here's the thing, and I don't know, because I have not been in the building to interview these folks for this, Michael, but I'll ask this question. And with no disrespect to the Miami Heat, but do you think the Bucks took them lightly coming in, knowing that Miami barely got in the playoffs, as it were? Right. You know?
Right.
And so you're thinking, as a number one seed, man, these guys barely made it in. They got one player we really got to be concerned about. Basically, we're going to roll the ball out and we're going to win, right? And now Jimmy Butler and Spo and the rest say, hold on a second, styles make fights. And we feel we match up pretty well with you. So I'm curious to see, and your basketball knowledge is greater than mine in terms of you having covered the NBA for as long as you did. But is this something where the Bucks can flip that switch down 3-1 and say, we can still come back and win this series?
They have to believe that, but this is going to be difficult. It's going to be difficult because it's not like you're dealing with – it kind of goes back to what we were talking about off the top. If you're the Milwaukee Bucks, you're up 3-1. If you're down 3-1, and you're the number one seed in basketball, if you just look at it that way, you're the number one seed, you're down, and you've got an MVP on your roster, you got a multiple MVP, defensive player of the year on your roster – you have won a championship recently, and you're facing a team that has not won a championship since LeBron and D-Wade and Chris Bosh were there. You would feel confident. One seed versus an eight seed, you'd feel confident. Except most eight seeds don't have Jimmy Butler. I left out the Jimmy Butler part. So most of the time, that eight seed, they are there. They're looking up at you. You've got superior talent to them. And so you're feeling pretty good. And I do think Milwaukee's talent, their overall talent is better than Miami's. Miami started last night. The starting lineup, there was someone called a Gabe Vincent. Okay.
Why are you going to disrespect a man like that?
I know. I just got to do it. There was someone called a Max Strus.
Hey, Max is a big reason they're in these playoffs.
Yeah.
The way he played in those play-in games.
Kevin Love looked like a walking Just for Men commercial, salt and pepper. You know, he started last night. I mean, it is not. And then you have Bam. And you have Jimmy Butler. So Milwaukee, they got it all. Milwaukee got Giannis, and you got Brooke Lopez, who was balling last night. And you got Middleton. You got Holiday. They are a deep team. They had some serious winning streaks during the regular season. They're the number one seed. It was not by accident. It's not a fluke. They played great offensively and defensively for most of the season. As Eric Spoelstra said after the game, we have great respect for their championship DNA. They do have championship DNA, but they have run into something that other teams have witnessed, other teams have experienced, but they can't explain it to you. It's one of those, hey, you had to be there. Because when Jimmy Butler in the bubble, when they played the Lakers in the finals, Lakers won it in six, but I'm sure the Lakers can tell you, you got to be there. Celtics last year, Eastern Conference Finals. Celtics have a better roster than the Miami Heat. They're there. They're cruising along in game seven, very similarly to last night. They're cruising along in game seven. Hey, they're about to go to the NBA Finals. All of a sudden, the Miami Heat, Jimmy Butler, start to go nuts. And Jimmy Butler takes a three that could have sent the Heat to the NBA Finals. He took a three basically for the win, and he missed it. But the game before, he forced the game seven. Boston's like, okay, we got Miami coming back game six. We're better than they are. Let's make quick work. Garden's ready to celebrate. Jimmy put 45 on him then. 40
something. Let me ask you this.
He's
you
amazing.
Heard Charles Barkley.
He's amazing.
You heard Charles Barkley say greatest performance he's seen on television, right? Mm-hmm. LeBron's game against the Pistons he saw in person, greatest he saw in person. Where would you rank this one? You've watched a lot of basketball, Michael Holley. You know a lot of basketball. Where do you put this one? And I know we got the Jordan 63 game against the Celtics.
Yeah.
Where do you put this performance?
It's got to be somewhere in the top 10. Am I wrong for grading on a curve a little bit? I'm not taking away from it. It's an amazing moment. But I would say, okay, is Jimmy Butler 56 first round to put his team up 3-1? Is that more impressive? Even those 56 points, is that more impressive, Miami Heat fan? You tell me, Miami Heat fans out there, is it more impressive than the Heat down in 2006, down 2-0 to the Mavericks? Dwayne Wade in those first two games, second year guy, first two games, I remember some people saying, hey, the moment's too big for Miami, moment's too big for this young guy, Dwayne Wade. Then Dwayne Wade goes off and has a consecutive 40-plus point games. They couldn't say, every time he get into the lane, he either scored or they sent him to the line. And they don't lose another game. But I'm saying, right, okay, one of those.
How about game performance. Six?
How about, okay, how about Yacht? Okay, I would say Dwayne Wade, game 4, 5, 6, NBA Finals 2006. Giannis, game 6, 2021 Finals. 50 points in the NBA Finals to clinch. I got to put that one above this one.
I'm going to give you a couple in the top 10,
but it's not my one. It's not my one, though.
What's your one?
Right now, off the top of my head, I'm going to say Giannis. Giannis, the 50 to clinch. 50 to clinch. Knowing what he came, what he went through at the beginning of the series before he was hurt, and he wasn't quite right when he was playing in, like, game 2, game 3. They were also down zip 2, didn't lose another game, win 4 straight. The 4th straight win, the clincher with the 50-point game and shooting free throws well when he struggled earlier in the season. I mean, earlier in the series. I may give the edge to Giannis in that one. What's your one? Yeah. I want to hear this. There's so many good ones. No, I want to hear yours.
Exactly. There are so many good ones. I don't know that there is a wrong answer. But for me, I showing my age again, I think back to NBA Finals. Game 6, Lakers, Sixers, Kareem is out. Magic steps in at center and goes for, what was it, 42, 15,
triple-double,
I think, something like that. Was it a triple-double, something like that?
Oh, no, wait, no, you're right. You know what? You're right. It was not a triple-double, but I think you're right. I think it was 42 and 15 for Magic playing center.
And 7, I believe. Yeah, playing center, stepped in for Kareem as a rookie, which was just phenomenal. And the other one I think about here, just in terms of singular performance, and this one isn't even an entire game, it's just a quarter, was Klay Thompson with first quarter. What did he put up? 37, I think? Something along those lines. That was just a phenomenal shooting performance that set an NBA record. So, but I would say for me, right, Magic's performance as a rookie, stepping in to play center in an NBA Finals game, a clinching game at that, on the road was just amazing. Amazing.
Yeah, some good ones. And we'll see. We'll see what happens with the Milwaukee Bucks. The number one seed, best record in the NBA, now facing a 3-1 deficit. On the flip side, we're going to talk to somebody who roots for a team that is up 3-1 in their first round series. And I just can't believe it. I mean, I can't believe the stars are aligning. The New York Knicks are in the playoffs, and they're on the verge of winning their series. First time, like, in years. I think it may be the second time in 20-some years they're going to advance to the second round. Maybe. We got Ashley Nicole Moss coming up next. Maybe, Ashley. Maybe it's going to happen.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic, because we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Dylan Brooks is the epitome of, y'all ever hear that saying, don't let your mouth write a check your ass can't cash? Mm-hmm. That's the epitome of what he is. Or, you know, you throw a grenade and then you hide your hands like, oh my God, who did that? Dylan Brooks wanted to be this guy. He wanted to be the villain. He wanted to be the guy who throws jabs at everybody and riles people up, from LeBron to Carmelo to this team to that team. He wanted to be this guy. So now you're this guy, and now you're crying about being this guy, and now you want to go ahead and make it seem like the media made you this guy. You made yourself this guy.
You made yourself this guy, says Ashley Nicole Moss, who joins us now. And the Memphis Grizzlies, Ashley, are in trouble. Are they in trouble more because it's a bad matchup with the Lakers, or are they in trouble even bigger picture because they got the wrong personnel to try to talk the way they talk, and they are not capable of performing in a way that backs up all their braggadocio. Let's put it that way. Why are they in trouble?
I really think it starts with John Morant, honestly. I mean, he's not 100%. He's playing virtually with one hand. He's a liability out there because when he tries to force it to his left, because, you know, his right is in, you know, basically non in use, teams aren't letting him do that. So that goes ahead and allows teams to have the film out on him with that. I don't know if Dylan Brooks and his, you know, his trash talk, or I don't even want to call that trash talk. That's like a disrespect to trash talk. Whatever it is that he's doing is really a factor. It doesn't help because you're already coming at a deficit. But I just think that the Warriors just can't, I mean, I'm sorry, the Grizzlies came into this situation just unfortunately not 100%, and not 100% in the area that you really needed to be 100% in to go ahead and play a team like the Lakers. For all of their shortcomings, you're still playing against LeBron James. And like I said, when Anthony Davis is 100% and he's consistent, and that's a big if, that's a big star next to that, he's unstoppable. And there's a lot of other pieces within the mix against the Lakers. The Grizzlies had to be 100% to go ahead and give their full effort. Now, I will give them go ahead and give them credit, though. I mean, they're doing a lot with a little. They're taking them to the mat. They're taking the Lakers to the mat. They did it last night. They've done it in other games in this series. So the credit of John Morant, I mean, what he's able to do with one hand is absolutely insane.
Come on. Ashley. Okay, you know what? I can't take this. As a matter of fact, Gary and Natalie, because now Ashley's being too reasonable. Before we get to the reasonable and giving the Memphis Grizzlies credit, can we play just like, I just want to give people a sample of what the Memphis Grizzlies have said in the last 2, 3 months, 6 months, 8 months, year. Let's just get a little sample. I want you to see and hear what the Memphis Grizzlies are about. Let's check it out.
You remember that quote I said?
Which one about?
Ain't ducking, no smoke. Yeah. We run up the chimney. Simple as that. We ain't no conversation about not letting nobody get under your skin. Somebody, you know, come towards you, and you know, you can't back down. It's a soft person tendency. Man. We don't got no soft guys over here.
who do you look at around the league as you're studying and say, we're going to have to run through them?
Celtics.
No one in the West.
Nah, I'm fine in the West.
I mean, okay. Okay.
See, like, I have no sympathy for them. I'm not going to give them credit. Look, you talk a lot of trash. They talk a lot of trash. Dylan Brooks, LeBron, he's old. I poke bears. I don't respect nobody unless they give me 40. I tell you what,
hold
Dylan
on,
Brooks.
Michael. Don't hold the entire team accountable for the mouthpiece that is Dylan Brooks. That's not fair.
Well, let me just say, I want to say this. I haven't heard from Dylan Brooks or Ja Morant. I haven't heard from them. They got a little quiet last night. And I do want to point out, Trotter, to Dylan Brooks. He said he doesn't respect anybody unless they give him 40. If you put LeBron's points and rebounds together last night.
He gave him 40.
He gave him 40 plus. Yeah. I don't know, man. Hey, Trotter, I don't know about you, but I'm not really feeling the Grizzlies right now. How about you?
No, look, I want to say something first off. One of the reasons I love Ashley is that she has a wise soul for someone so young. And so I don't want any, I'm not immune to lifting from someone else when they say something really smart. I sent in my feed last night before I saw what she said about Dylan Brooks and writing a check that your ass can't cash, right? So it's just great minds on the same wavelength here as far as that. I'll say this. My thing about, look, I like good trash talk. I got no problem with it. But for me, for it to be effective, one of two things has to happen. Either you have done something that allows you to talk trash, or you are able to back it up. The Memphis Grizzlies have done neither. And so as our dear friend Natalie would tell you, they have talked a lot of trash for a long time for a team that has not accomplished anything. And so I agree with that. Because I don't want people to think that I dislike trash talk. I love it. I mean, when we go back to the day of like Larry Bird getting under people's skins with the stuff that he said and this, that, and the other, I'm cool with it. But damn, do something first. And so it is as if the Memphis Grizzlies anointed themselves without having done the work. Right? And that's what bothers me about this whole thing. They have talent, no question. But they don't, to me, they don't have the right chemistry. There are too many young guys who think that just because individually they may have game, that somehow they have accomplished something, and they have not. And so to me, this is a team that truly needs, number one, a veteran player on that roster who can get through to these young guys. And then number two, they need to take this ass whooping and learn from it, right? and come back in the future. That's what I believe.
I think this is two separate issues, though. I agree with you completely. I think that throughout the course of the season, they have this confidence about them that's borderline arrogance when you haven't done anything to kind of have that confidence. I'm all for confidence. I'm all for thinking that you're the best, but there's a level to it. There's a line to it. Where then you start crossing into this arrogance where it's like, listen, you guys are the young bucks in the West, in the NBA. Like, slow your roll a little bit. I agree with you completely. When it comes to, you know, the Dylan Brooks situation, I can't hold the whole team accountable for that because that hasn't come out of every single one of their mouth. It's only him. He's the puppet. He's the one who's out there, you know, riling and poking the bears and things like that. Won't hold the whole team accountable for that. I do agree.
How about Ja, though?
I will say lastly, though, I do, in their defense, I do think this series looks a little bit differently. Do the Grizzlies still lose it? Possibly. Do the Lakers still win it? Possibly, if Ja Morant is 100%. I'm not going to go ahead, as somebody who watches the game of basketball, say that that's not a possibility. So there's a lot of moving pieces here.
Here's what I would say to you on that, though, Ash. You're right. It's tough to hold a whole team accountable for the words of one, even though many Grizzlies, or I shouldn't say many, but there have been a handful of Grizzlies who have popped off and made comments over the last year. But I will say this. If as a teammate you have a guy who is popping off to a guy like LeBron, who has earned it, as a team, you go to that player and you say, hey, bruh, this really ain't cool right now, right?
Right.
Lay off. This ain't helping. And there is nobody on that team who has done that. And so from that point, from that perspective, that is why I can't give the rest of the Grizzlies a pass. Because if I were on that team and he popped off about LeBron, basically I only respect dudes who put up 40 on me. Yeah. I had to go to Dylan and say, bro.
Well, if you look at the body language of the time Dylan Brooks got into an altercation, I'm forgetting the player's name, throughout this season, none of his teammates came to his defense. So if you're a body language expert, like I like to think I am, there may be, you know, not camaraderie in that locker room, and it just may be something they're not, you know, dealing with in the public. But they may just be as fed up with him as we are with him from the outside looking in, but they're in the locker room. I would not be surprised if he's hearing a whole lot of this in that locker room. I would not be surprised. You didn't see the picture of them looking at him on the bench, Desmond Bain and John Morant looking at him like, oh, this guy got to go. I don't know.
You know, I was reminded just reading some of the reading. I can't remember who did. It may have been Brian Windhorst who did this story, or somebody just going over. Maybe it's Dave McMenamin going over some of the rivals that LeBron has had. If you look at those lists, the list of those names, it's generally not, you know, top five players. The best player on the list of rivals, of self-appointed LeBron rivals or critics, agitators, best player is Paul Pierce. But between Paul Pierce, Lance Stephenson, Deshaun Stephenson, Dylan Brooks, a lot of these guys who have come up and challenged them, none of those guys have really been successful. And the guys who are successful don't even say anything. Like Kevin Durant has played them a couple of times in the finals, or three times in the finals, come away with two victories. He wasn't talking trash, not before the game, but during, he was doing it with his play. So I guess to your point, Trotter, it takes somebody to say, look, I know what you're trying to do. This is really good for your brand, I guess. It's getting you a lot of attention. It's not helping us, though. Like, you, Dylan Brooks, are not going to get under LeBron's skin. And I guess it takes a little bit of experience, which brings me to the New York Knicks, who have more playoff experience than the Cleveland Cavaliers. I don't think they're a better team, talent-wise, person for person, than the Cavaliers, but they got more experience than the Cavaliers, and it's really working out for them, Ashley. They're up 3-1. It's good to see Madison Square Garden alive again and meaningful playoff games. It's always better. New York's a great city in its own right, but it's a better city when the Knicks are playing in the playoffs, and the Garden is rocking. Ashley, what are your takeaways from this series?
I sat in this very spot on this very show before this series even started, and I said to you, I would not be surprised, and don't be surprised, if my Knicks take the Cavs to the mat and this goes 6 games or more. I said it on this show. I've said it multiple times. Everybody laughed at me. Oh, Donovan Mitchell's going to light you up. Oh, the Cavs are going to light you up. Knicks don't stand a chance. They might get swept. And here we are, up 3-1. Just one win away to advancing to the second round, where I hope to God we see the Miami Heat so I can be front and center down here in the 305, witnessing the 90s, because I was a baby, so I don't remember that. But I'm not surprised in the slightest. I believed in this team from the beginning. I told people this is a very real possibility. These teams are a lot more evenly matched than people gave us credit for. And everybody laughed at me and said, there's no way the Knicks are going to come out of this series victorious. And I'm just going to relish in the fact that my New York Knicks are up 3-1. In a playoff series, one win away.
All right.
Go ahead and advance it. I told you so. It is a good day to be a New York Knicks fan. Once again, heck yeah, praise MSG. That's how I feel.
Can I ask one point of clarification here? I was not on set with you guys or on screen with you guys, Ashley, when you made that comment. But when you said the Knicks could take them to the max in six games, did you say Knicks would win?
I did.
Did you? You said the Knicks would win. I just want to be clear.
I said, do not be surprised if the Knicks win this series and take the Cavs to the mat and it goes six or seven games. I always had Knicks in six. I'm sticking to my prediction. I think the Cavs go ahead and handle business at home tomorrow. But I think when it goes back to the Garden, just be prepared. If you're on 7th Avenue, find shelter. It's about to be mayhem out there.
There it is. There it is. I like it. And so then you get let's look ahead. Both teams up 3-1. New York up 3-1. Miami up 3-1. Who you like in that series? I mean, let's go ahead. You got the Knicks in the Eastern Conference Finals too. You gonna put them in the finals?
I'm not gonna jinx it. I hope that would be. Listen, Michael, we go to the Eastern Conference Finals, you guys aren't going to see me for a while. I am going to probably be sitting in a jail cell in New York City somewhere for causing destruction of the entire Midtown Manhattan, because that I will be out there with the fans causing utter chaos. It would be the greatest day that I think I have ever seen in my life. But I will say, listen, in the Miami Bucks series, I like Miami. I mean, it's hard to kind of bet against Miami after what I just witnessed with playoff Jimmy. If you even get a fraction of that, and you even get a fraction of, you know, what Bam can be, and, you know, the other supporting cast members, they just gotta go ahead and get one. It's hard to win three in a row. It's very, very hard to do that. Not saying the Bucks can't do it, but Giannis may not even be 100%. It's hard to go ahead and make that happen. It's hard to force seven games. Miami only needs one. I think they seal it. I think my Knicks get it done. And the 90s are going to be relived in the second round. It's going to be a good day. It's going to be a fun one.
90s. See, you know what? When you have time, we have more time, Trotter. I mean, more time, Ashley. Trotter and I can tell you about the 90s. What was popping in the 90s? All this stuff. I'm going to bring it all back. I saw some of those 90s players around the Garden. John Starks was there. You know, some of the hairstyles are still here. You know, some of the fashion is still here from the 90s. So it's not all that different. It's just been repurposed. But I'm happy for you. Ashley, I'm happy for you. I thought the Cavaliers would win it. I thought Donovan Mitchell would have more to say in a game four. Oh, he was awful. In game four, he was awful. In the second half, what do you have, a bucket? In the second half, it's terrible. Anyway, Ashley, good to see you. We will catch up with you.
Next time
we talk, the Knicks. The Knicks will be in round two. Knicks Heat. Can you imagine? Pat Riley.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Peter Skoronski will be drafted on Thursday, not on Friday, not on Saturday. It will happen on Thursday. It will happen early. He is a Northwestern All-Conference award-winning tackle, and some NFL team is going to be fortunate to call his name when the draft begins. The draft is one of my favorite events, Peter, and I have lots of draft questions for you. But before we get there, I'm going to ask you, football fan, a football fan, I know you root for the Packers, and I hear they made some kind of trade the other day. Now, come on. I want the real answer from a Packers fan. What's up with this trade? What'd you think when it officially went down? Aaron Rodgers to the Jets.
It seemed like it would never happen almost. It was just like months of just waiting and seeing if it would happen, even though everyone thought it was going to happen. I think as a Packers fan, you're very appreciative of Aaron Rodgers and how great he was and how he made the team so much better. And just like, he's an all-time great quarterback. So definitely appreciative of him and sad to see him go, but also kind of excited to see what Love can do and how they can build around a young team like that. So definitely going to miss Rodgers, but it's kind of an exciting time. I think they got a good deal out of the trade too. So, I don't know if I feel strongly about it either way, but just felt like it was going to happen anyways. So, appreciate Aaron Rodgers for sure, but still excited as a Packers fan, but we'll see what happens in 2 days if I'm still a Packers fan.
I was going to ask you that. Like, this is so difficult. I always wonder about that. You know, I live in Boston here and watched Tom Brady throughout his career. And Tom Brady grew up as a 49ers fan, hardcore. And then all of a sudden, you're in New England and you play the 49ers. Patriots fans want you to, like, knock their heads off. Like, what is that? Have you started that process yet of that little psyching yourself out, saying, okay, all the things I've experienced in my 21 years, they are now have to be pushed aside because I have to be a fan of another team, perhaps.
Yeah, I've definitely been working on becoming a little more neutral. Obviously, I was a diehard Packers fan growing up. But, you know, I think I'm just ready to play for every team that I go to. And I don't think it'll be too hard to get behind the team once I'm there. But definitely have to pull myself away from just like being a Packers fan, obviously, because, you know, never know where I end up.
You know, I think you have such an interesting perspective on the Packers. You know, I love NFL films, Peter. So I know, you know, all the stuff from the famous Lombardi clip when he goes, a seal here and a seal here. And he's got, you know, Jim Taylor and Paul Hornung, you know, got it running the sweep. But, you know, your grandfather played for that team for 11 years, was there for all five championships, NFL championships under Lombardi. What was that like for you? First of all, as just as a grandson talking to your grandfather, hearing these stories, and as a football fan, knowing that a piece of football history was right there in your family.
Yeah, I think it's funny to me because, like, obviously growing up, I just knew him as like my grandpa. But I think as I grew older and got more into football, I definitely began to realize like what he did and how great he was. I think I always just became in awe of that. You know, I've seen all the NFL film stuff and I've read all the books about him and about Lombardi and those Packer teams. So it's always just been so amazing to me and so cool to me. And I always felt lucky that I had a grandfather who did that. And now I can try to follow in his footsteps too.
And you say following his footsteps, he was a tackle for sure. I know you've heard a lot of the speculation. Oh, Peter can play tackle, smart guy, he can play guard, he can play anywhere on the line. But if you said, if a team came to you and said, hey, Peter, what's your position? What would you tell them?
You know, the first thing I'd say is I think I can play tackle. Obviously, some people think that I'm ruled out of playing tackle because of a certain arm measurement. But my, you know, more than anything, I'll play anywhere. You know, I'll play center, guard, tackle, whatever. I think I'll just do whatever I can to help the team. But one thing I don't like is just being limited to a certain position just because of a measurement. I think that sort of neglects what makes playing tackle important. What's important about playing tackle? But yeah, I'll play anywhere, but I can play tackle.
You know, Peter, I'm such a draft nerd. So is Michael Smith, who's not here today. But we have put some of our relationships in peril by being draft heads and paying way too much attention to the draft at the expense of other important things, you know? So I've always loved the draft. How about you? Do you have a draft story, or is this draft process kind of new for you? Is this your introduction to all the details and nuances of the NFL draft?
No, I actually have always been kind of a draft nerd too, to be honest. Always like follow the draft, and obviously with the Packers, like always seeing like who they might draft. And one thing I used to do in high school and college is just like watch film of like the top offensive linemen and just see what they did, and trying to emulate their game. So I've been obviously following offensive linemen in that sense with the draft. So I've always been really into it. I think even this year, I'm like still kind of nerding out about it and like trying to get information from my agent about who wants who and what guy's going where. And it's just kind of funny because my name is also like in there too. So it's just like, it's cool, like, because I've always been a fan of it, but then also like I'm a part of it too. So yeah, it's just kind of surreal almost in that sense.
Who were some of the guys that you followed in high school and you said, okay, that's a pretty good, I like the way this guy plays. Who were some of those offensive tackles that you watched and admired from afar?
I think, well, this guy's a guard, but I've always been a huge Quentin Nelson fan, you know, since he came out in the draft and was at Notre Dame. I think he's probably the most dominant college offensive lineman ever. So I've always just sort of loved watching him and his game. Obviously, you know, Rashawn Slater, my former teammate, him coming out and seeing what he did and how good he was. Those two guys, I think, stick out to me in terms of who I was following pretty closely.
You know, I'm so intrigued by this. You know, we see that you're partnering with USAA, and you had the opportunity. Draft is going to be in Kansas City. It's a big deal. We were there last year in Las Vegas. Las Vegas was into it. Nashville has been into it. Cleveland, Kansas City, the same thing. But you had an opportunity to fly over Kansas City in a helicopter. One, tell us about that experience. And two, tell us why that experience happened.
Yeah, so that you partnered with USAA, and they're the, you know, the official sleep to service partner in the NFL. So just got to partner with them. So my grandfather actually, in addition to being an NFL player, was in the Air Force for, I think, 2 or 3 years. So I thought it was really cool just to be able to partner with them. And then we went out to Whiteman Air Force Base, right outside Kansas City, met a ton of service members there, just got to talk to them, sign autographs, stuff like that. They did take us up in the helicopter. And just sort of flew around Kansas City. We got to see the draft site, you know, obviously very, very large and grand. I won't be there, but cool to see that from a helicopter too. We also got to see like the B-2 bombers, the A-10. Just really cool to be around those people and just show my appreciation for them. Obviously, having a grandfather who served too, I know what the sacrifice is like, not only from them and their families. But just a really cool experience overall, just to be around them.
That's amazing, too, about your grandfather. I know how close you were to him. And I was reading this story, great story by Dan Pompey, excellent NFL writer. And he had, and you could teach us something. Teach me and teach our listeners something today, because I was trying to pronounce it, grandfather in Polish.
And yeah,
I couldn't get it.
I don't know if this is really Polish. So we call him Jaji. Which is, I don't know if that's really how you say it in Polish, but like that's just what we were able to pronounce, so we just always call them Jaji. And so I don't think that's the actual translation, but I'm sure there's some Polish person out there shaking their head, but that's what we call them. That's what we thought grandfather in Polish was.
Hey, listen, Peter, if it works for your family, that's all that matters. You know,
exactly.
You make up your own rules. Okay, we call him Jaji. We'll come up with, this is how we spelled it. It was fine. I can tell you at another time when you come back on Brother from Another after you're drafted, I can tell you about the Holly family and how we used to make up Monopoly rules. And I would play with Monopoly with other people, and they would
everyone does that.
They'd be like, you can't do that. That's not the rules. But that's how we did it.
Right. Yeah.
Listen,
that's awesome.
I mean, it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure talking with you. I can't wait to see what happens on Thursday. It's going to be so interesting. Get ready. If you do wind up with the Chicago Bears, I know that's going to lead to some really, really interesting family discussions for you. A Packers fan who winds up with the Bears. Yeah. I know, but I know it's going to work out no matter where you go. Thank you, Peter. Best of luck to you going forward. I'm excited for you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate you having me on.
Anytime. Thank you.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic, because we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
I would say the last, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 days we've been talking. We've been talking, you know, much longer than that. But I think the last 5 or 6 days over the weekend and stuff, that there's been a lot of conversation that helped us get to this point.
Ryan, how important was it to get this done before Friday?
It was very important for us, I think, you know. Wouldn't have been the end of the world, but at the same time, I think it would have certainly changed things quite a bit. So getting it done ahead of time was important. I just think certainly the capital for this year, you know, was very important, certainly more valuable than future stuff. You know, we've been working on this for a while, and to get beyond the draft, I think would have been tough for both teams.
As Packers general manager Brian Gutekunst, and he said they've been working on the deal for a while, the Packers and Jets. Jim Trotter, the deal is done after 40 days. Aaron Rodgers wearing number 8. Will be the quarterback of the New York Jets. Look, Trotter, I know the Jets haven't made the playoffs in 12 years. They have a 14-game, this is hard to believe, they got a 14-game losing streak to the Patriots. 14 straight, they haven't beaten the Patriots since the Obama administration. Do you think
Michael, they
that
haven't beaten a lot of teams during that stretch.
But 14 straight, no, 14 straight. They've beaten Buffalo. I mean, that's crazy. Do you automatically put the Jets in the mix for division champs, conference champs?
I put them in the mix for division champs. I do not put them as the front runner to win the division at this point. Look, you know this, Michael. Every season is different and unique. And you can't always say that there is going to be a direct carryover from one year to the next. That's why we see every year so many teams that miss the playoffs end up making the playoffs the following year. The Jets are extremely talented. They have a talented roster. No question Aaron Rodgers or good quarterback play, I should say, was a missing piece for them last year that prevented them from getting to the playoffs. But I still have some questions, knowing how great Aaron Rodgers is and knowing that he is going to the Hall of Fame one day. I still want to see how much motivation and drive he has going into this year. Look, he did not play great last year, and that was not all on those young receivers, as others tried to say.
Right.
Aaron did not play well at times either. So now coming into a new offense, you know, a new setting, all of that, we know what Father Time can do to players. So I'm interested to see how Aaron plays here. I don't think it's a given that he is just going to step in and they are automatically going to be front runners for both the division and the conference title, in my opinion.
Yeah, look, it's the biggest move. It's the biggest move the Jets have had since the merger. I have no doubt about that. I'm thinking about some of the moves in franchise history, and this is it. I think this is number one since they won the Super Bowl in 1969, Super Bowl III. But I think the odds are right. You look at those odds there on the screen. You got Kansas City, Buffalo, Cincinnati. In the AFC, it was Kansas City, Buffalo, Cincinnati, and the Jets. And here, you got Philadelphia and San Francisco added to the mix to win the Super Bowl. But for the conference, I think fourth is about right after those first three teams that I mentioned and the teams that we've been talking about for the last couple of years. The Bills, the Bengals, and the Chiefs. Because I look at it, I'm with you, Trotter. I have some questions. I have some questions about Aaron Rodgers, who didn't throw for 300 yards one time last year. That's not everything, but that's stunning. He didn't have a single 300-yard game. And his top three yardage games they were against teams that were either under 500 or barely over. His top yardage game was against the Lions when the Lions were bad, not when the Lions were good, when the Lions were bad, and they finished 9-8. So I have questions about that. And this team, even with their quarterback problems, they did lose their last six last year. You can't put that all on the quarterback. There's some dysfunction that's got to be rooted out of that dirt for Aaron Rodgers to turn them around. Trotter, great to see you, man. And congratulations to your family and your daughter. Congratulations.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.